Can you hear me? Am I on? Yeah, I am. I felt a surge of power come up in you. Hallelujah. Great to see all your smiling faces. Man, what a good-looking bunch of guys. And obviously, most of you didn't know I was speaking today, or you wouldn't have showed up, right? But God's speaking today, so you showed up.
Amen.
Only an instrument. And today, what I want to talk about is called ripple effect. And I want you to think about that, ripple effect, and have an idea in your own mind what that means to you. When you think of ripple effect, what comes to your mind? First of all, I guess I want to ask, are you all comfortable? Do you feel comfortable in here? I mean, some of you got coats and hats, and I don't know if you guys remember or if you weren't here, but I think it was back in January, February, maybe even in March with the winter we've had. There were times when I came in here with a hat and glove and coat still on, and I had to keep them on. Carl, I see you've nodding your head. It was your fault. Carl didn't pay the bills. He's the financial officer here, and I don't know if you guys knew that. So, Carl, pay the bills, please. Just teasing, man. Love you, brother. And the reason I asked that question is because I want to kind of set this up with the fact that there are two ways, basically, to change the temperature, right? Well, actually, there's two ways. One is to change it, and one is to measure it. So I want to talk about that just for a second. The difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. There's probably some heating and air guys in here, and you could probably articulate this better than me, but when I change my thermostat at home, or Carl, when we pay our bills and we change our thermostat at home, the temperature changes, and we try to get to a comfort level. And some of us have different levels of comfort, right? Some of our wives have different. That's why they make cars with one on each side. What a great idea. But the thing is, we change that temperature control on a thermostat, and it makes the change, hopefully. A thermometer, on the other hand, measures or reflects that change. So why am I sharing about a thermostat and a thermometer? We're going to hook it up with a spiritual piece here, because I'm going to ask you guys, are you a thermostat or a thermometer type Christian? Are you making change? Are you affecting change? Are you reflecting change? Are you a thermostat or a thermometer Christian? Are you affecting or reflecting? Because every action, changing that thermostat, every action has a reaction, ripple effect. Change the thermostat, change the temperature. People get more comfortable. Father God, I'm asking you today just to speak to us. Help us hear what you're saying to us. Help us see what we need to adjust in terms of our thermostat. Or are we being more like a thermometer and only reflecting? And then lastly, God, I would ask that we not just be hearers of your word today, but that we would be doers when we walk from this place. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. This scripture's in front of you on your sheets. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That reading comes from the NIV version of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. This scripture is talking about spiritual law, Brother Paul. And it's a spiritual law of reaping and sowing. And when we think about it in terms of our lives, our spiritual lives, as well as our holistic lives, body, mind, and spirit, who we are today, who you are today, who I am today, is the result of our past, our present, and our future. And it includes what was sown into us in our environments, wherever we were born and raised and live, work, and play. All our thoughts, every thought, every action determines what kind of people we become and what defines us. You see, therein lies that law of reaping and sowing, or as I like to call it, the ripple effect. Here's a fact for you. You can't sow, any farmers here? You can't sow tomatoes and expect potatoes. Right? I mean, that's pretty simple. It's that law, in the spiritual law, what you reap is what you will sow. Here's a sobering thought for all of us, me included. If you were required to appear before God's judgment seat in the next 5 minutes, what kind of fruit would you be able to show? What kind of produce would you be able to show? When we allow God and His Word to produce positive qualities in us, the results are multiplied, rippled. And there's always an awesome ripple effect when we allow God to produce those qualities in us, His Word. Speaking of ripple effect, I thought of a couple hundred examples, and I'm not going to share all those because I don't have time, but I want to throw a few major ripple effects that we're all familiar with that made change in the environment. How about 9-1-1? Ripple effect? How about floods? Kokomo, Indiana? Tornadoes all over the country? How about accidents? Ripple effect from accidents. Births, deaths, loss of jobs, new jobs, divorces, loss of children. Oh, wait a minute. Urban outreach and bridges. Ripple effect. We heard about a lot of that last week. I could go on and on, but I want to tell a story about my granddaughter, Harper. Man, I got a granddaughter that I'm obsessed, and I never got that doting grandparent thing until I became one. I get it now, Phil. I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with Harper Jane. She's 19, almost 20 months old. I can't stop thinking about her. Every picture I get, I want to show it to whoever. Wrapped around both little fingers. And I have two grandsons coming, one in May and one in July, so it's just going to get worse or better. Ripple effect. So Harper and the entire family, we took a little mini weekend down to Brown County about 3 weeks ago. And the weather was lousy, but that was the weekend we planned, so we did it. The whole family got together, all the kids, and Harper's there, and she, of course, was the star of the weekend. She entertained us all. On Saturday morning? It was finally a nice day, and I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday. But her and I went out for a walk, and we found a pond nearby. And it was really cool, and she wanted to walk, and of course, I was fearful she was going to get too close to the water. So I began to pick up and throw stuff in the water, and she would watch those ripple effect, you know, and all those rings coming out. She was just amazed, and she wanted to pick up a stick and throw it in and watch the ripple effect. So we had a great time. But I thought about another sobering thought I'm going to share with you in that regard. You ready for this? And this really hit me. I've got three adult children, but this hit me more with my granddaughter than it's ever hit me. The way that we talk to our children or grandchildren, and then I said, or others, the way we talk to others becomes their inner voice. Man, the way we talk to others becomes their inner voice. I see some heads nodding. And if you don't get that, man, ponder on that. Pray about that, because that hit me like a ton of bricks. You know what's cool, Paul? With grandchildren, we get a second chance. And I'm very grateful that my children recognize the errors I made as a father. And I can still get a second chance with them because they've forgiven me. They've given me a ripple effect by giving me a second chance. So here's the challenge, men. Well, at least one challenge for now. How can we, you, me, us, effectively change the environment that we're in, wherever that is? Well, maybe I should define environment. Real simply put, it's the surroundings, it's the conditions that we find ourselves in, that where we live, where we play, where we work. Actually, it involves the sum total of all those circumstances and conditions that surround us. Are we influencing them? Are they influencing us? Probably both. Again, you know, I'm thinking that includes our churches, Pastor. That includes gyms, our workout up on the third floor. You know what? The other thing is, when it comes to environments, a lot of times environments stand against or aren't really even interested in what God's priorities are, right? So, men of God, I'm going to ask you again, are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer? Are you reflecting or are you affecting change in your world? See, we're to be in the world, but not of it. Romans 12:2, I love this scripture, one of my favorites. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, changing our environment is not possible. Hear this. It's not possible. You cannot be a thermostat if you have not been transformed or changed yourself. Man. So it has to start with us, and it's an inside job. Because we can look good on the outside, but might still be broken on the inside. And I use a mask presentation a lot of times to explain that. But, you know, we can front, we can put on a front, we can pretend. And I hate to say it, Pastor, but that happens a lot at church. You know, you might have had the worst fight on the way to church, and then you come in smiling and holding hands, and you're like, seriously? The church is for sinners, right? Not for saints. Y'all are laughing because you've done it. Me too. Kids, wife, whoever else might have been in the car. Well, here's what I want to say about that. It starts with a change in our wills, our minds, and our hearts. A total surrender to God's will. That's where it has to start, on the inside. Here's the deal. And you've heard me say this before, or some of you have, and I try to live by it. We can't give away what we don't have. I mean, that is so profound and so true. You can't give it away if you don't have it. And how do we have it? Through Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed for us. Transformation. If we haven't received God's healing and transformation, we're going to respond out of our own brokenness. And that's what happens a lot. If we still have brokenness, God wants to take that. He wants to heal that. He wants to make you well. But we have to give that to Him. The thing is, when we respond out of brokenness, are we affecting change? Somebody say, yeah, because we are. Is it a good change? Not necessarily. Usually not. I'd say, if I were to break it down real simple for me, you know, when somebody shares something, I say one of two things. It's either helpful or not helpful. I mean, that's pretty black or white. And usually it's the case. It's either helpful or it's not helpful. So, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Why does He do that? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. That is one of the best examples of a ripple effect I could ever share with you. And it's, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. That's how we begin to change our environments. That's how we become a thermostat Christian. My wife and many others, as I look around this room, are examples of carrying that message to me. And you give me hope. You encourage me. Men prayed with me. There was a brother last night on the third floor of the YMCA. He said, I want to pray with you before I leave because you're speaking tomorrow. He knelt down. I don't even care who's in the gym. Do you, Brad? It didn't matter. And said a prayer before he left for me. That had a ripple effect. It still is. Here's the cool thing, man. I ask you, if you think we could do this, we can't do it on our own. God equips us. He gives each one of us all we need to carry that message of the same hope that He gives to us, to all the world, to our environment, wherever that might lead. Here it is. You ready? Private victories always precede public victories. Inside job. Private victories always precede public victories. You see, a work must first be done in us before we can promote change or a ripple effect in anybody else. You can't give away what you don't have, and you can't keep it if you don't give it away. I want to say, whoop, there it is. But I wouldn't do that. That was a prophet by the name of, MC Hammer, right? Whoop, there it is. They're looking like, what? Who's MC Hammer? Anyway, I'm going to get out of this real slick here. I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now sit and stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. There's some ripple effect. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's some serious transformation right there. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, he follows up with this. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's some serious acceptance right there, isn't it? No one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, amen, a new creation. The old has gone. That brokenness is gone. The new has come. Transformation. All this is from God. Now, you about us, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us that same message of reconciliation, the ripple effect. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, He says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be the sin for us, so that in that we might become the righteousness of God. Remember the rock and the water, the ripple effect? What do you think was the greatest ripple effect of all time? I'm hearing it. How about the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ? The greatest ripple effect of all time. No ripple effect will ever compare the name of Jesus. That's what God did for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate that. Well, some of us are going to celebrate it Thursday night with Maundy Thursday and then Good Friday. And then it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The resurrection. Jesus is alive. But you know what? Jesus proved to us all, one person, or Son of God, can make a difference. And I would challenge you guys to tell you, and I know for a fact, that you make a difference. And that you can make a difference. And there will be a ripple effect. So when you leave here today, no matter what environment you're in, wherever you are, remember your words, your actions create a ripple effect. You're planting seeds. Every choice, I just thought of another. Every choice you make, every word you forsake. I'm not going there. Every deed, every action has a ripple effect. There will either be a reward or a consequence. And I love Randy said a long time ago, you can choose the choices, but you can't choose the consequences. But if we plant wisely, God will reward our faithfulness. It's the law. As you sow, so shall you reap. So in closing, I want to refer back to the thermostat thermometer illustration. If you change the thermostat, you change the environment, ripple effect. Lives that are changed by God's grace will reflect God's heart, and that will create a ripple effect. Every Christian is to be transformed so that we can affect our environment. When we surrender again, our wills, our hearts, and our minds completely to God for the sake of Christ, I'm telling you, great things can and do and will continue to happen. I implore you, as the Scripture says, my brothers, to commit today, here now, at your table. Better understand by sharing with one another your relationship with God, with others. Be intentional. That's a great word. Be intentional about cultivating relationships that will allow you to introduce others to that same love that we have through Jesus Christ. We're called. We're responsible. To much who has been given, much is expected. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a humbling responsibility to carry the message of hope that we have in Christ. But you can and do make a difference. So, have you decided? Are you a thermostat? Are you a thermometer? It's easy to set up and take notice. What's difficult, my brothers, is getting up and taking action. So, Father God, I pray for these men. I pray for myself. I thank you, Lord, first of all, for the changes you've already created in us and through us. But, God, I know that all of us still sin. I'm asking you to continue to refine us, continue to transform us. Even this very day, even this very moment, God, reveal to us where we need to continue listening and transforming. And we ask that you do that through Jesus Christ. Amen.